This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Our next story of the day takes us to Saudi Arabia, where the country has suddenly decided that cinema is okay. It's been banned for many, many years.
Yeah, women can drive. Well, the ban has been lifted anyway.
Yes, that's right.
You know, they've set up operas, orchestra. They hosted their first ever women's cycle race. I won't say that things are going swimmingly.
No.
Or that they're just speeding ahead. But for Saudi Arabia, it's still quite surprising, isn't it?
No, it's very surprising. Yeah. And you know what? They seem to be a fan of Marvel movies as well, because the first movie to be screened in a Saudi cinema after 35 years is a Black Panther.
Really?
Yes, has been, that's a very interesting choice as well, because when you think about the film Black Panther, it is about a king returning to his land and opening up his land to the world, which has been closed off for many years. Mm-hmm. And it's about, I guess, in many ways, the liberalizing of Wakanda.
Yeah.
So I was like, interesting choice. I wonder what the metaphor there is.
Very symbolic, indeed. But I suppose, they are going different places simply because, I want to say oil is drying up, but oil wealth is not going to be enough to sustain or fund government spending or create jobs. They've got a very young society. Most of their 32 million people are under 30. So what is it? It's about job creation for the young and making sure that it's sustainable moving forward.
Yeah, they've also changed their rhetoric, though. For the longest time, Saudi officials kind of implied that the population was very, very conservative, right? And now, in their rhetoric, they're kind of saying that it's actually open, dynamic, tech-savvy. People apparently are spread over large territories where they have very different life experiences and income levels. Oh. And so the whole, I guess, political rhetoric about its people seems to be changing as well.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. More and more Saudis have studied abroad. Maybe all of these influences are kind of playing its part on the House of Saud as well.
Yeah, but, all these external influences, I guess, that you're talking about, it's almost impossible to avoid, right? So everybody's got an internet connection. Everybody's watching films online. You may not be able to watch it in a movie until now, but you can fly somewhere and watch them. It's been practically impossible to keep the curtain closed.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. They can take a leaf out of our East Coast cinemas, like, East Coast Malaysia, keep the lights on. So it's bright, but the screens are, recalibrated so the movie still looks good, so there's no hanky-panky in the dark, all of that stuff, right?
Always a cozy way to watch a movie.
We're going to cross over now to Middle East expert Dr. James Dorsey. He's from the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. James, thank you so much for joining us on the Evening Edition. Earlier, we were talking about how there is this disparity in how Saudi Arabia is progressing. Now, while they are progressing socially, there hasn't been much progress in their political freedom. How long will this political strategy last?
What this is about is really about upgrading of autocracy. In other words, taking autocratic rule into the 21st century. And what that means is that governments have to deliver. They have to deliver on economic issues like jobs and opportunities, and they have to deliver on social issues. And the hope is that if you deliver on that, people will surrender their political rights. I think that will work for a period of time, but there are two issues. One is, at some point, people will want more freedoms. And in addition, if you don't have checks and balances in a political system, then the pressure to perform over time reduces.
Right. So how does the country's citizens actually feel about moving in this direction?
I think what you have is a very mixed picture. So with other words, on the one hand, you can argue that real change has happened. Women can drive. Women can go to a stadium. Women can get jobs in the military. That's real change. So is the fact that if you can afford it, you can go to a concert and there will be cinemas. Though that's real change. However, I think what you have to realize is that Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince who is driving change in Saudi Arabia, has yet to deliver on the core issues. He has yet to deliver jobs. He has yet to deliver economic opportunity. And the jury is out on whether he will be able to do so. There's also a second issue, and that is that Saudi Arabia is an ultra-conservative society. Ultra-conservatism is woven into the fabric of society. There has been no process of managing that social change. Mohammed bin Salman is very popular, certainly among urban youth. But when you go to the second-tier cities in the countryside, or when you start asking urban youth if they realize what this change entails, it becomes a very different story. So, for example, if you ask a young Saudi, what do you want? He'll tell you, I want to drive fast cars, I want to date girls, I want to party, and yes, I want a job. And then you say to him, oh, so your sister's going to be dating too. And he'll say, oh, no, she isn't.
Now, is there still truly not much support for women's rights in the country?
Well, women's rights is one thing, but don't keep in mind that if half your population can't work and can't be productive, you cannot build a 21st century economy. So it's not just simply about getting support. This is about real economic change. And the ultimate judge on this is going to be whether he can deliver economic change. In other words, you have a country that's 60% under 30. These people want prospects, and he's got to deliver on that. He could deliver on it. But again, if you look at the economic plan, there are a lot of great ideas. But my sense is that Mohammed bin Salman is a 32-year-old man. He understands far better than the past octogenarian power holders what youth aspirations are. He understands what has to happen. The real question is, does he know how to do it?
Right. And do you think the Crown Prince could push through these reforms?
Well, right now he has the power to do it because he's essentially changed the country into a one-man rule in which he has absolute power and absolute no tolerance for any form of dissent. Now, for example, the religious establishment, which is part of the power equation in Saudi Arabia, has endorsed all of his reforms. They've done so because he has whipped them into subservience, not because they've had an overnight change of heart. They haven't. So he is going to have to deliver, and on the basis of that delivery, hope that he can deal with criticism that will come from various quarters.
So where are the opportunities for growth for Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia has a fair amount of potential. Look, one of the things that's driving this is that if you are a person born in the Gulf today, you are going to see the end of oil within your lifetime, either because reserves run out or because fossil fuels, and particularly oil, are on a downward slope as you initially move into natural gas and increasingly into renewable energies. Now, that's something Saudi Arabia has realized. It doesn't have the gas, or at least not the kind of gas that would make it a gas power. It does have sun. And so it's moving into renewables, in a sense, skipping gas. One of the things it's doing is building the world's largest solar energy facility. It has minerals and other resources, and it has to create a population that has the skills that the market demands. It doesn't have that yet, but it is capable of doing so. So in terms of, as a matter of principle, economic reform, that's perfectly feasible. The question is whether you succeed in the way you go about it.
James, thank you very much for all of those insights. That was Dr. James Dorsey, Middle East expert from the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, talking about the current state of affairs in Saudi Arabia. They just opened up cinemas for the first time in 35 years, showing Black Panther. Tweet us at BFM Radio and let us know your thoughts on what movie they should screen next in Saudi Arabia. You're listening to the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.